Previously on Diary of a Showgirl.
Now, sponge cake is the one that I'm going to attempt.
Very brave, Lucy. It's a tricky thing to get right.
What's the point of having a recipe if it doesn't actually tell you what to do?
Well, it's the Taj Mahal of the three cakes.
Depends on the time of the day that you cook at.
Really?
Depends on the temperature, the time of the year.
You would be much advised to have two tins that were of equal size.
In my never-ending search to perfect the sponge cake, I've decided to call in the experts. This week, I caught up with veteran show cook winner Val Lett of Airlie and Latrobe Valley chef Tony Morgan from Pieces of Cake to get some inside tips from the pros. The cook versus the chef. Hello, Tony, is it?
Yes, it is.
So what do you got cooking there? It smells good.
Chocolate cake now, just to get your sponge in. Well, what we've done is we've done half corn flour, half baking flour. The idea is that if you whip up your eggs enough, you'll get enough of a rise out of those, and you shouldn't need rising agents.
Oh, that's new. I haven't heard that before. Doesn't work for me.
Hi, this is Val Lett from Airlie.
Val, you very kindly agreed to let me into your kitchen so I can watch you at work. She's just warmed her bowl. Why do you warm the bowl?
Well, they say it just helps with the mixing of the eggs. Instead of putting them into a cold bowl, just put some hot water in, swirl it around, then, but make sure you dry it well. The eggs now, I put them in whole.
Oh.
Years ago, I used to separate them, and one day I decided to try putting them in whole, and there was no difference in the sponge, so I thought, wow.
Never looked back.
No.
This is a massive beater. I really wish I had one of these at home. It's probably, what, a metre and a half high with one massive big whisk.
It's probably about as big as your head.
Fire it away, Tony.
Oh, wow.
So you don't separate your eggs?
No. No. It's sort of, in the old recipe we used to, it's just a bit time consuming for us, and we find with this recipe you don't need to. But I'll let these eggs whip up a little bit by themselves for a while, and then I'll add the sugar slowly.
So you've just added the sugar there, Tony, and it seems to be a bit quieter.
It is. See, this is the part I don't know. But for whatever reason, once you start adding sugar to it, that it must get stronger because it doesn't make much noise.
The mix is going on, I'm afraid, and it's a bit noisy.
So how long does it take for you to beat your eggs?
I beat the eggs themselves 10 minutes. Then over the next 10 minutes, I gradually add the sugar.
How long have you been making sponge cake for?
Well, all my married life, my husband was still alive, we would have been married 42 years last May, so a long time.
That's a lot of sponges.
Yeah, yes, it is. I wouldn't like to say how many I've made.
Were they always a success, or did you fail at first, like me, because I'm failing a lot?
Early years, I mainly made ginger puffs because I had a lot of trouble with plain sponges. But once I got onto that recipe, I never had a failure.
And you've gone for quite the classic tin. It's just an aluminium tin with a nice sharp edge. But I do notice, Val, that your tins actually don't match.
No, they don't.
So one is slightly deeper and one is copper?
Yeah.
And the other one is just a silver aluminium.
Yeah.
How long have you had those tins for?
Oh, golly, probably 25 years. I've had them a long time.
Tony, the oven plays a key role. What temperature do you have your oven on?
With this oven, it's as old as the building itself. So while it's still in Fahrenheit, and it says 250 Fahrenheit on it, it's hotter than that. Been here for so long that we just know that that's the temperature to cook it at.
So you know exactly what's the right temperature for when you're doing a sponge as opposed to a chocolate cake.
Exactly, and they all have to be different, and it's one of those things, practice makes perfect.
So they're coming up nicely now, the mixture's been beating in your special beater there, Tony, and it looks quite a creamy colour, it's gone sort of a pale orange.
Yeah, it's probably about halfway there, by the time it's finished it'll be white.
Looks like a tablespoon there that looks like it's seen better days. It's kind of lost the top off. Tell me about this spoon.
It's a very well-worn, very much loved spoon. It belonged to my late mother-in-law, who was an incredible cook, and I just can't bear to part with it. And I make all my sponges with it. It's nice and light. It's just a favourite spoon.
Therefore, your mother-in-law's almost with you, beating each sponge, imparting that knowledge.
I'm sure she is, actually. It's done well.
It has. Time's up.
Yep. They're done.
So Val in with the sifted ingredients. Oh, sifting for a fourth time.
Yeah, I sift them three times and then actually sifted into the mixture.
Tony, now you're folding in the sifted flours literally by hand with your hand as the folding spoon. This is an interesting technique.
Because it's such a big bowl, I was always taught that if you start using things that have sharp points on them, you tend to break the bubbles. If you're using your hand, they'll go around your hand.
So it's all about keeping the air in the eggs.
That's right. That's the most important thing, air in your eggs, and you want to keep as much as you can in there.
And tell me about the newspaper that you've put over the kitchen bench. Should I not let the listeners in on that?
Oh, that's all right. I'm just a bit pedantic. Because the flours are so fine when you sift them, oh, it just goes everywhere. So I just put newspaper down to save a little bit of work.
Well, I need you around at my place, Val, because last night when I was making a sponge, I was doing the meringue and I have a hand beater and I lifted it up and I had meringue all over the kitchen, bench, books, everywhere.
Yes, you didn't switch it off before you lifted it up.
I thought, I'll just reach the egg yolks, and I didn't realise I was lifting up the beater at the same time.
Oh, that would not be good.
No.
I just lightly fold it in. You don't beat. It can be a bit vigorous as long as you're not actually beating.
Now you have to tell me, because you're about to pour them into the tins, how do you make sure they're even? Because I really struggle with that.
Do you know what the secret is?
Yeah.
I count the spoonfuls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty logical. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of cake, Tony. You're making 4 sheets of sponge plus 1 large sponge cake round and 1, say, 25-centimetre sponge cake. Is this how much sponge you'd usually make a day?
Yeah, generally speaking. And then, you know, we might do another one in chocolate as well.
Now we're ready to go into the oven. That's really a massive oven. Tony just used basically like a pizza paddle to push one of the sheets of sponge cake into the oven. Wish my oven was like this at home. How long do you cook it for?
Sounds so stupid. When it's done. Like sometimes it changes from, you know, the eggs are different. Sometimes the flours are different. So, as long as it'll take, you'll start smelling it soon enough. And then you sort of keep an eye on it from there.
I am impressed, Val, because you seem to take a very scientific approach to this sponge making, which I think is great. You're watching the clock in terms of timing for how long you need to beat your egg whites, how long you need to add the sugar, and now you go to the effort of counting out the spoonfuls that goes into the tin to create 2 even sponges. I think I need to be a bit more methodical. Do you think this is a secret to your success?
Well, it works for me. Now, I always bang my tin, do you?
I do. Yeah. Try and get air bubbles out, is it?
That's right. A lot of people say you should never bang them,
okay.
But I always do. Into 180 is my temperature oven for 20 minutes.
And you're using a fan-forced oven?
Yes.
Do you think that affects your sponge? Because some people say only use conventional ovens.
It hasn't made a difference. So I used to have a very old electric stove, and I used to cook them at 180. When I got this new one, it's fan-forced, can't switch the fan off. And the first time I made them, I decided to try at 180, and they turned out exactly the same, so I still cook them at 180. Yeah.
Just goes to show how much variation there is in the ovens.
That's exactly right.
Do you ever open the door, or do you just wait that 20 minutes and ping, they'll be perfect?
Do not open the door within the first 10 minutes.
Oops.
After 10 minutes, you can.
I've been doing that quite a lot, Val.
No, Lucy, that's a no-no.
Pulling it out now looks wonderful. It really has risen up, Tony.
It is. Like it you feel it, what, 2/3 of the way, a little bit less, and it'll come up to the top.
So you've pulled them out of the oven, Val. They are massive. Each sponge would be at least 6 centimetres high.
Probably, I suppose. I've never measured them.
So what do you put that height down to?
You know, beating for that 20 minutes, it really gives you a good volume of eggs and sugar.
Well, I can only hope to replicate that in the future, Val.
Practice makes perfect.
Thank you so much for showing me how you make your sponge.
It was a pleasure.
Well, you certainly have taught me a thing or two, Tony. Thanks very much.
No problems.